This is Christina Michelle from the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. We will soon begin a new season of Culture Rich Conversations. In this week's program, we celebrate the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, which originally aired last January. Sherry Patterson hosts this show, which has a timeless message from two pastors who reflect on lessons they learned from Dr. King in the early days of the civil rights movement. Lessons that are just as powerful today as they were then. An important part of today's discussion focuses on honoring Dr. King's legacy through service. This year, as part of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, which is also celebrated as a National Day of Service, the Black Awareness Association is holding a food drive in support of two organizations, Glory Hall and Aware. We'll have more information about how you can take part in that later in our program. Once again, we look forward to bringing you a brand new season of Culture Rich Conversations, where we can all continue to learn from each other as well as share in Dr. King's vision of justice and racial equality.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juneau Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juneau homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
Good afternoon, Juneau, and welcome to this week's conversation with the Black Awareness Association. This show is a weekly collaboration of the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO Radio. Our show today is dedicated and in honor of this great American who stood for peace and had a dream of freedom, justice, and equality for not only his people, but for the world at large. Today, we are honored to have two incredible guests to join us in the discussion. First, we'd like to introduce Dr. Lalonzo Patterson from Anchorage, Alaska, and Pastor Bobby Lewis of Harlem, New York. We're going to allow them both to share about 2 minutes about themselves so that you can be acquainted with who they are. And we just want to start off by saying, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being our guests today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Patterson, would you like to share just a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Thank you very much for inviting me to be on today. However, I've just gotten through doing some other stuff, so you get what you got today. I don't do well if I talk about myself, but I guess looking at my granddaughter, it gives me a little spark of hope. Today, but I hail from New Orleans, Louisiana, by way of Wilson, Louisiana. Spent about 11 years in the military, came to Alaska, settled for about 7 years in the Fairbanks area, became a pastor there of the Corinthian Baptist Church, served for about 3 years, and was then called to the Shiloh Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska. My focus was to build ministry in Alaska to impact and affect the political system as well as the spiritual deficits that existed among our people in Alaska. We've been here now for about 59 years, or right at 60 years, in terms of work in Alaska. I've served in the government and the local city administration, and served across the institution, been chair of the parole system, and I've done a number of things. We have built probably about 8 to 10 churches throughout Alaska during our time, and I recently retired in 2017. I have a family of 5 children and, of course, 5 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. And some wonderful daughter-in-laws and et cetera. I spent much of my time in Alaska because I found here that God had a purpose for me and to reach out and make a difference in that. So my life, I've been there. I served, again, as I said, about 12 to 14 years in the as chair of the parole system. I pastored the Charlotte Missionary Baptist Church for about 49 years. Now I am the executive director for the American Baptist Churches for Alaska. I serve in the A.B. Patterson Community Ministries, and we participate in trying to make a difference in the life of people. There are much need to be done in Alaska yet, and mine is to spend the rest of my life focused and committed to the elevation of humanity, to bring about something Martin Luther King said, building the community up and so that it works for the kingdom of God. So mine is to help usher into existence in this day and time the beloved community.
Yes.
We believe one people with one purpose will form one community. We believe that the hope of our tomorrow rests upon the education and relevance of issues today. We're committed to the transformation of the kingdom of God into the hearts of men and to make a difference wherever we go. I think I'll just stop right there just to say it's been a wonderful life here in Alaska. Mm. They've heard me say it many times under several of the governors I've served that I lived in Alaska and I want to live here the rest of my life. When I die and go to heaven, I want to go from here. Because when you stay in Alaska, you look better.
Amen. And one thing that he did not say, he is the patriarch of the Patterson family. That includes the Juno Pattersons. And we are honored to be a part of that.
You didn't have to tell my age. Yes, I'm
83 years old. He's 83. Thank you, Dad. Pastor Bobby?
Hello. I am Pastor Bobby Lewis, and I am from Virginia, Virginia. My beautiful parents, Bishop and Mrs. the late Bishop Rudolph Lewis and Maureen Lewis of Virginia Beach, and I moved to New York in 96 to come and pursue my Broadway dream, singing on Broadway, and God took me to Central Baptist Church on Broadway, right on Broadway. And I've been pastoring there ever since. And I got to Juno because every year for about 20 years, I've been coming to Fairbanks to work with the Summer Arts Festival. Just fell in love, and one of the girls there moved to Juno, and her husband became a provost at the University of Juno, and they invited me up, Nancy, over at the Jack, inviting me one year, how many years ago? 12 years,
I believe it's 12.
So I've been coming here. Mm-hmm. But one thing I love doing every year I come to Alaska is sharing our history. That history from that west coast of Africa over here, that middle passage. And I was amazed how many people did not know
right. The
story, did not know the full story because it really wasn't taught. So every time I get a chance to celebrate Black history, I show up because it's beautiful. It's not Black history, it's American history. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as I travel, I learn history. So tonight I hope we can help a little bit.
Yes.
In talking about Dr. King.
Yes, thank you so much. So we're gonna get right into some of the discussion, and we have a few questions that we'd like to ask, and we're just gonna put them out there and let you gentlemen just share. And the first question I'd like to ask is, as you know, we're celebrating Dr. King and his day of celebration is on Monday. But what does that mean? What does this day, the MLK Day, mean to you personally? Dr. Patterson?
Oh, well, MLK Day means a lot to me. As you know, in 86, Governor Sheffield appointed me as the first representative for establishing the MLK ministry. Well, he didn't call it a ministry, but a celebration in Alaska. And we built that. We organized it, incorporated it in the state as the Martin Luther King Foundation of Alaska. Across Alaska, we sought to familiarize people with the relevance of Dr. King within the far north. We were able in the 90s, et cetera, to build a memorial in Anchorage and to have a street named after him and to have an institutional facility named after him here because of the work. In the memorial, we are able to show that Dr. King's relevance to not only to the world, but particularly to people in Alaska, natives, Asians, Hispanics, etc., that his work touched all of us in a way. We had the company come up and do a beautiful statue to him. King means for me a reminder and a consciousness of our inhumanity to humanity, which is to say that how we fail in the effort and the philosophy of caring for one another. I think part of our work has been able to expose gently to people while we preach the gospel that the deficit in our relationship is that we have not learned how to love and trust one another and to understand color has no relevance in this generation, because while we try to talk about us and them, we come to realize that us is in the back room and them is who we're married to. In many cases, and so we have to look at that. We're just people associating with people and being who we are. King marked for me a break from my history, but he marks for me coming from the 1930s, where I was born in a little town called Wilson, Louisiana, and of course along that whole line of the Mississippi-Louisiana corridor. Is where much of my people come from, and they were all, for the most part, field workers following the history of that. I was born thinking that most folks say I was poor, but I didn't know it, and that was a good thing. And thus, King reveals to me the capacity of this generation and how that we are able then to help humanity and to make things better. I bought into his whole idea of nonviolence, and I bought into the fact of our equity. If you remember, one of his sayings was, black supremacy is just as dangerous as white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And out of that premise, I drew the fact that he was a man who was concerned and who was fair and realized that the relevance of one to the other has not to do with our color or even our language, but it has to do with our concern for the common man and realize other people hurt, other people share, and our common base was we all need roughly the same thing. So King means a lot to me as a boy. He helped to deliver me from the fact that my father, at the age of 7, my father was attempted to be hung by a group out of Mississippi, and of course then he was able to escape and save his life. And thus, we migrated to New Orleans. And of course, my journey began across the world and around the world in different places. But that shaped my character, it formed my commitment, and it established my concerns in the midst of my ministry that I could make a difference in the world. The epiphany of that was I saw in him what I wanted to be toward humanity, and I was able to merge that with the ministry that God called me to express. And so here, 70 years later in ministry, I see how that merges from the man of God, so that I've been able to do some things for the kingdom. The king means a lot to me.
Thank you, Dad. I'm in tears. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Bobby, I'll just ask you another question, if you wouldn't mind. Okay. Dr. King accomplished much in his short years. He was violated so many times, his life endangered. his family threatened, but he kept going. What do you think caused him to keep going and accomplish all of the things that he was able to do and ended up just revolutionizing this world? What do you think kept him going?
Well, I know the thing that kept him going was his faith. Mm. Because without faith, you only have what you see and what you feel, you know. But without faith, you can only deal with the pain of what's happening in front of you. But I love Dr. King because he didn't need to do this.
No, no.
The brother was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was so smart, could have gone anywhere, finally got settled. His wife was educated. These are educated Black people. But the thing that threw him off was injustice to anyone, was injustice to everyone.
You know? Yes.
And that is... That comes from inside. That's
yes.
faith. That's God.
Yes.
That has to be put in you. And, you know, he comes from a legacy of pastors. His grandfather was the pastor of Ebenezer. His father pastor. So he watched them serve. And it's that attitude of being a servant and really seeing and feeling that thing that God felt, that agape love,
yes.
goes beyond you, you know.
Yes.
Every time the day comes around, I always ask myself, are you seeing beyond yourself? Mm. And I think where we are now, people only feel and see their own situation.
Yes.
And if you don't go beyond that, we are going to be a broken world as you can see us now.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate when people say, this is the most divided we've ever been. What are you saying?
No.
You know, and what they're really saying, we're just seeing.
Yeah.
Because you have to come outside of your own self when it affects you.
Yes.
You know, so now you're just seeing. Proud Boys been here. They just name different things.
Yes.
You know, KKK, you know, and all the other names they have, you know, they've always been that L underbelly of the world. But one thing Martin did was he faced the issues as they came. He got his job at his church. He was settled, just came out of school. And here goes this woman sitting in the back in the bus. Here she goes, sitting on the bus in the wrong seat, gets thrown in jail. That is me.
Yeah.
If she's in jail, I'm in jail. And that spirit spread.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love the most, that agape love. That's what the thing that moves through him, where he sees beyond his circumstance. He's marching, not because his children need it, not because his family needs it. He's marching because the world needs it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And we saw that. We didn't see his life. Many people won't know. They don't know how brilliant he was.
Right.
Because he came down. He humbled himself and became the least of these. You know, and I think that's the hardest thing to do, to become the least of these. So that impresses me more. That's what I ask myself. Bobby, where are you?
Yeah.
What's important to you today?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You know.
Yes. But thank you. You guys, if you don't need a break, I do. So we'll be back. Thank you.
We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome. Lord, we shall overcome.
Hello, Juno. We're back from our break, and today our discussion is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the holiday coming up. Our guests are Pastor Bobby Lewis of Harlem, New York, and Dr. Alonzo Patterson of Anchorage. And we're in this beautiful discussion about the life and accomplishments of Dr. King, and we're going to continue. So our next question is Dr. King's dream or his vision for nonviolent approach, especially in our world today, still relevant? Do you think that if he were alive, would this approach still work? Pastor Bobby.
I think it would work when he's talking about nonviolence. Yes, we do have, we have the Army and we have our Navy, but I think this is dealing with our emotional response to people. I think when he said, if we live eye for an eye, everybody will be blind. Mm-hmm. You know, we cut your eye, cut my eye, we're all walking around blind. But really seeing each other is hard. I know that when Gandhi was such an inspiration to him because of the way Gandhi handled their relationship with Great Britain, the way they just pulled back their resources, they stopped, like with the, and he used that example for the bus boycott, and where they got off the buses together. And he says, when you see your white brother, you speak to him. Uh-huh. This is not about offense. This is about teaching them how important for us to live together. Uh-huh. And without you and without me, watch, you'll see a breakdown. Uh-huh. And they saw how important African Americans were to the economy. You know,
right.
That's something I think today he would be so devastated how divided we are, where this is my stuff and your stuff and their stuff. And even the churches. I mean, we have churches here competing with each other.
Yeah.
Churches across the street trying to get, you know, build bigger than that. I'm like, what happens if we came together? Mm-hmm. And that's why this thing of segregation had to be broken down, because we came together in the church.
Right.
But then we have these educated Negroes who got blessings of the blessings of the of Martin Luther King. They got the blessing to be able to get go to school and be able to get all these things. You don't need the church anymore.
Right.
And that's why we got the breakdown again. Mm-hmm. Because you're not leaving the physical church. You're leaving the spiritual place, mm-hmm, that carried that movement.
Yes.
That spiritual place of agape love. And that's unconditional love, where you see yourself in other people. If they need something and I have it, this is yours.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think he would be devastated how selfish we are.
Yeah.
And how we have left our spiritual base. We have left our faith. And we become so independent. Like, you know, this is mine, that's yours. This. But he went to school so that he can come out and be better for everybody else. You know, he would be disappointed in that.
Okay. All right. Dr. Patterson, what do you think Dr. King would do or say in the current state of our country today?
One of the driving factors for King was we can be better together.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I recall
yes.
an episode in some of the marches where one of our Caucasian brothers walked up to King and spit in his face, and he stuck out his tongue and took in some of the saliva and looked up and said, "Now you're a little part of me."
Mm.
King would be relevant today because his principle was about love, and love is always relevant. King was relevant because he pointed out that the fallacies of a brother because or sister because of their color has no differences. Hate is just hate, no matter where it comes from. So therefore, love is relevant. Concern and respect for others is relevant. Nonviolence will achieve hope for future relationship that is relevant. Human needs are relevant. Basic care for your family and treating your neighbor, as the Bible says, is relevant. And so we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. The important thing is King was eternal in that his message was divine. He brought a message to us that most of the world doesn't want to see. King,
right,
as Christian as he was, he did not see Christian, he saw people. As saved as he was, he did not just see the church, he saw God's creation. And he sought to bring us together to come to recognize one another, to embrace one another, to learn to love one another. The important thing about King's message is that it is perpetual. You're not going to get it all in any one dimension of time, but it will evolve, and each generation reaches for its piece of King's message. They may not have known King, but then the message is still formed in the cycle of the generation in which the issues are raised. So I believe it's just as relevant today as it was then. Whenever we find the things he talked about were really not things that are tangible. He said that when I'm gone, if they want to say something about me, tell them where I stood on the wall. Tell them where I stood in trying to help poor. Tell them where I stood in trying to better humanity. That is still the cry for today. Because just as it was yesterday, it is today. Each generation brings this corruption, but each sunrise brings us hope.
Okay, good. I like that. Okay, both of you are men of the cloth, as they say. You're both pastors. You're both leaders in your own respect. I'd like for you to share with us, each of you, what are you doing or what are your ministries doing to further Dr. King's dream are to bring equality, freedom, justice in the world today. Dr. Patterson?
Well, our role in ministry, as you know, I'm no longer a pastor. We have a new pastor at Shiloh. I retired. However, you retire from pastorate. You never retire from God's call or ministry on your life. And our role now is we serve the A.B. Patterson Community Ministry. Out of that, we do a community table, which is free. You bring it, free, you take it. It provides food, clothing, shelter. Now we have the Corona 19 Relief Center. And what we do is issue out PPE, masks, and gloves and stuff free to people so that they can survive. We have clothes there for people who don't have, you come get them clothes, shoes, food, furniture, whatever. And so we've built an open-air shelter there on the corner of Ministry Center on Juno and 17th in Anchorage. If you see it, need it, take it. If you got it at home and don't need it, bring it. And it's amazing. We picked up about 6,000 to 7,000 people already.
Oh, wow.
Who've gone through that ministry. And we are now issuing out our gloves and masks, trying to save people and help them to survive until we can get vaccine in their arm and get them to be safe. That's just one of the things we are doing. We're really all over the state, but right now we're targeting Anchorage, Eagle River, Palma, and Fairbanks.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Pastor Bobby.
Amazing. the same thing with us. We work hand in hand with homeless shelters here. We work hand in hand with building houses for homeless. We work hand in hand. We just got back from Benin, West Africa, working with the 190 churches there, Churches of Pentecost there, and taking food, and we just sent computers there to help them just with the basics. One thing about when we go to Benin, they have built a hospital. There's no roof. You see, with us, we got to wait till we raise. Well, not them.
Yeah.
They know the need. They are building. They start already, you know, before the building is even finished. We just got back from there and working hard and showing the same compassion. Oh, God, we have a church in Spain. We're there in November and working with them. We are the same everywhere. And I'm mad because I can't come to Juno. I can't come to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about that because it's such a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the same thing, seeing all of us as brothers and sisters. And I know people say, I don't see color. We need to see color.
Mm.
You need to see. You need to understand who my brother is, what his culture is, what they need, where they are. When I come in and meet people in Spain, they're different from me. I got to learn what their needs are, meet them where they are. And I think we need to truly see each other so that we can serve each other, not judge each other. You know, King said we don't judge by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character.
Yes.
But we need to see each other so we can serve each other. And I think that's what he did.
Yes, thank you. So how would you encourage someone who might be listening today, and they say, well, I don't have a congregation. I am not a leader. I don't have the resources these gentlemen might have. How can I, as one person, further the dream of Dr. King? Pastor Bobby?
Volunteer.
Okay.
Volunteer. That's our challenge, church. Don't you dare let a Dr. King day come by where you don't volunteer and get connected with the people. See what the needs are. Once you do it, it does something.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You know, I think of how much energy we use climbing ladders, trying to get to the next level and get there, and there's no fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people, the fulfillment, go back down to your ground.
Yeah.
Humble yourself. Wash somebody's feet.
Yeah.
Help somebody. I'm telling you, your heart fills up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that's what volunteer.
Yes.
You don't have to start anything. Go to Dr. Patterson's church. You better believe they will point you somewhere.
Yes.
Because they have the heart of the king.
Yes.
Of the king and the king.
And the king, yes.
So I say join in with somebody and donation.
Yes.
Donation.
Yes.
Give to an organization.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Patterson, what would you say to someone who is just looking to further the dream?
That's a principle I teach in the church. It really is an economic principle, and I won't go into it, but mine is pay God, pay yourself, and then pay everybody else. One has to develop a profile of oneself and the value you are to a community. One has to understand that God has embedded in us, it is inherent in us, the principle of leadership. Someone is always following us. So I have to demonstrate the highest that is in us to the lowest that is in others and make them to know the capacity to rise as a phoenix from the ashes of their ungodliness or worldliness and can become better in the world before us. And this generation needs to understand that they rest upon yesterday's generation and they have to prepare to support tomorrow's generation. We cannot just say we have nothing to do because it is a building block process. One generation rests upon another. So I would say to them, you're relevant. You may not be in a church, but you're relevant. You may not be even in a leadership role, but someone is looking at you, following you, and evaluating or making that decision based upon who you are. Even in the face of the attack on the Capitol, of our nation and the threat against the capitals of all of the cities of America, that we're better than that. You don't have to remain who you are, whoever you were. Each of us can rise to its highest potential if we simply respect one another.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And with that, we're going to go to a break and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you so much.
But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Thank you.
most of you in Juneau know, and Dr. Alonzo Patterson from Anchorage, Alaska, who your host knows very well. Anyway, what would you gentlemen say to the younger generation today, the millennials and maybe even the younger population, about Dr. King, his vision, his dream? Why would you encourage them to embrace it? Dr. Patterson?
I would ask the young generation a question. And that question would be, where are you taking the world today? Mm. Because contemporary issues and modernized phraseology and principles, I would say to them, look at what you're doing because it will determine what you will be on tomorrow. We've forgotten the value of family. We've forgotten the respect of neighbors. We've forgotten the right of others. And it's all about me, mine, and the almighty dollar or thing. And that's where we focus. We look at TVs for 30 minutes and want to answer all of our problems. We look at the microwave and want our hot dogs in 1 minute, 10 seconds. We look at education and think we can look at TV and get everything we need for the future. We don't want to work because we think we got a shortcut to economic sufficiency. Where are you taking the world? Because the world is abandoning much of the foundation. It is eroding under our feet as we speak. Mm-hmm. When last time you saw your parent, or when last time you saw your family, that's not important anymore. We look at what is happening on TV. It becomes real to us. People are dying in the street, bleeding, and we walk over them because we're so insensitive now to the fact that blood on TV and blood in reality is two different things. But in the end, I would say to them, please understand, make your own move toward what tomorrow is going to be, and you better make sure you get it right because you may not have another chance. Mm. When the mob surged upon the Capitol, no one was prepared for that. Mm-mm. And I thought about, as Pastor Lewis was talking, the Bible say there will be a sudden explosion, and paraphrase, and you won't know what happened. You know, each of those people were totally caught off guard.
Right.
And I saw brave people, strong people, people who can raise their hand and change a city, start a war, hiding under benches and pews because they were caught off guard. Young people, be careful because I don't have an old folk like me because we've lived most of our life. I can count the next 10 to 15 years. I'll be out of here. You got 30, 40, 50, 60 years to endure this mess. Mm-hmm. And I hope you know what you're doing because you're going to have to live with it. Mama said, make your bed hard because you're asleep in it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. Pastor Bobby.
The sad thing, you were talking about television, and that television has become our companion because we have bought so much stuff.
Yeah.
That now parents have to work 2 and 3 jobs just to pay for it.
Yeah.
And now stuff has become our value.
Yeah.
And I look at our rappers, our young, brilliant rappers.
Yes.
They are, and the only reason you are famous is because you are a brilliant writer. Mm-hmm. But yet, you're looking at your image and you got stacks of dollars and gold chains and buying all these cars, and all of that stuff is going to pass away.
Bling, bling. Mm.
It's going to bling, bling. It's going to go. And if you had to judge Dr. King, we don't know what cars he had.
No.
We don't know what houses they had. We don't know where they live. We don't know how much money he made. This man got a Nobel Peace Prize. Right. He was not broke.
No.
But guess what his greatest wealth was? Serving others. His brothers and sisters. He barely had time to be in the beautiful house that was blown up twice.
Right.
He barely had time to experience the luxuries of his degrees and all of it because he was marching with poor people. Mm-hmm. He was marching to make sure they could eat. Not the caviar or whatever, but just a meal. So I say, volunteer somewhere. Just 6 hours to a program, to community service. Just make yourself do it. And you will learn how important
yes.
We had parents that made us do community service. Go make your bed. That was my community service. Mm-hmm. Cut that grass. Mm-hmm. Go stack that wood. That was my community. You don't have that. But I beg you, if you want to have a life that will be remembered, put at least 6 hours of community service in your life.
Yes.
And
yes.
It will change you.
Yes, it will.
Some senior citizen needs to hear you. Read to them. It changes you inside.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know for a fact I have many years of volunteer work here in this community on many boards and many organizations, and it is so fulfilling to give yourself to others. And so I would encourage anyone, and you may not be of the younger generation, you might be of our generation who are talking to you today, and if you find yourself with, what can I do? Volunteer. Find someone to help. It might be your neighbor. It might be someone you work with, somebody that you just in the line with at the washateria or the grocery store. There's plenty that we can do. I want to go into another part of Dr. King's era, and that's the music. What part did it play in the civil rights movement? Pastor Bobby?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes.
If I had a hammer.
Yes.
I'd hammer in them, and everything was about how do I change the world. The music became about change. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, we'll walk hand in hand. Those songs are all about community. That you cannot do this alone. Everything was about reaching out, helping your fellow man. So that was some of my favorite music.
Yes. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Dr. Patterson?
There was a song done that says, looking back over my life, I can see signs a wise man heeds, but I know I'll never make that same mistake again, and it goes on and on. The music of Dr. King was music borrowed from the previous generation and turned into a building block for the civil rights movement. It bespoke of our heritage and, of course, borrowed by humanity, and many of us use it regardless of who we are. We were singing when we came out of Africa.
Yes, yes.
Only in a different ritual.
Yes.
We had certain rituals that we did. So I think music has been the highway upon which we traveled across boundaries of indifference. It has been a place where we have been able to talk when we didn't know what language you spoke. It carries within its capacity the power of love and change, and in some case, indifference and anger, in order to communicate to you the pain that comes out of our differences. I think King music had to do with encouraging people who had been oppressed and suppressed to say to them, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Mm. Precious Lord, take my hands. As my grandfather used to say, I wouldn't mind dying if dying was on. Mm-hmm. Jesus will fix it after a while. These were songs that brought us through. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. I could go on and on. But these were songs that shaped to encourage the people, at least of my generation, that it's going to be better tomorrow. I trust in God. It's going to be better tomorrow. Some would sing the song, if I don't wake up in the morning, everything will be all right, and on. So it's a message, it's a music, it's a ministry, and it is a highlighted place in history that we all go back to when we lose our boundaries.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I like the call and response songs a lot. I mean, I just love it when you have a leader and then the rest just come in. Just love the music of that era. It's powerful. I just really thank God for it. So as we come to a close, gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much for being a part of our conversation today. And if there's anything else, I'll give you a couple minutes each to have a last word, and then we'll go on. Dr. Patterson, if you have a last word that you would like to say to our community today.
I never give you the last word. I give you the word before the last.
Okay, give us the word before the last word. Okay. I love you, Dad.
It's such a blessing to make that contact. And if say to all of the listeners of this program, we in Alaska share a different, we are somewhat semi-isolated, but yet in the better sense. But keep in mind, we're still people. And we still have the responsibility to love and care about one another. And the love is higher and is better than hate. Joy is what we get out of knowing that our neighbors think toward us as they want us to think toward them. If we can do that, what a great blessing God has for us. King died for a purpose and for a cause. We ought to live to fulfill that purpose and that cause.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Pastor Bobby.
One thing I want to say is that I have, for 12 years, have been hearing about this thing called Dr. Patterson. And the power and the renaissance of it all. And so this day, I am so happy to be in the same place to meet you, Dr. Patterson. It is amazing. I completely understand every word Sherry said. So I can't wait to physically hold you and show you love. So it's so good to meet you. And the last thing is, thank you for thinking of me, Sherry. And I just want people to just remember that hate always ends ugly and shameful.
Yes.
It has a shameful ending. Years and years of rhetoric and hate and pushing people to go against each other, it cannot be contained.
Yeah.
It always outworks us. Somebody said sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay.
Yes, yes.
But love is a home. Love is a place, a space for all of us. When you love, I don't care what the person looks like that you are loving. If you love them, it may feel uncomfortable first. They may even reject you for a season. I think Dr. King was rejected. Bricks, you know, even one of his black sisters stabbed him in Harlem.
Yeah.
Well, at a book signing because people can't handle change.
Yeah.
They can't handle love because you can't touch it. You can't manage it. It is just so beautiful. And it gives you so much joy. Even after that, he was back on the line marching.
He was.
Because love lifts you up and it carries you and it changes all of us. That's why we're talking about Martin Luther King now.
Yes.
Because
Thank
love
you.
Goes on and on and
yes.
on. I am Martin Luther King.
Amen.
I am Martin Luther King.
Yes.
He lives. He never died. They killed the dreamer, but not the dreamer.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Martin Luther King.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Patterson and Pastor Lewis. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
This is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your hand.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
Although Sherry Patterson's interview with Dr. Alonzo Patterson of Anchorage and Pastor Bobby Lewis from Harlem was recorded last January, it's a conversation with an evergreen message about Dr. Martin Luther King's life, legacy, and call to action. This year, the Black Awareness Association is collaborating with AmeriCorps to help two organizations, Glory Hall and AWARE. And joining us with more on that, Sherry Paul, Director of AmeriCorps in Juneau. Sherry, if you would like to take part in Dr. King's Day of Service, how do you go about doing that?
Well, the best way to take part is to join us, the AmeriCorps members and the members of the Black Awareness Association, in collecting specific donations that will be listed on our website and the Black Awareness website that have been requested from the Glory Hall and the Aware Shelter. Specific donations come from granola bars to socks to jackets to hand warmers to toiletries such as travel size toothpaste. There's a whole list of requested items that are really critical for the residents of the Glory Hall and the Aware Shelter. And there will be drop-off boxes at Foodland IGA downtown and Super Bear in the Valley.
And I presume that on your website and Facebook, you can find other locations too.
Yes, we will list other locations that the boxes will be dropped off at. And also the major drop-off point will be at St. Paul's Church on Atlin Drive in the Valley from 11 to 3 on MLK Day, which is January 17th, Monday, January 17th.
How is this a good way to honor Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy?
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King's philosophy was beloved community, strengthening racial equity, strengthening communities to work together to enhance the communities in the best way possible. Under his leadership, he really wanted us to focus on the importance of service and unity. Congress in 1994 passed MLK Day and made this a day of service for members to take the day off of work, find out what's needed in the community, and help the community out. For instance, I know in Sitka this year, the AmeriCorps members are painting the senior center. So there's lots of projects that are going on across the country that all Americans can Google MLK Day in their community. And since it's a national holiday, you get the day off of work. And what better way to honor Martin Luther King's legacy of beloved community is by helping your own community out.
And it seems though that if you get other people on board to help with this, mm-hmm. that you're making this even bigger.
Much bigger. Yes. So if anybody else in the community would love to lend a hand to supporting us, they could go on the AmeriCorps website, which is under United Way of Southeast Alaska, or they could go to the Black Awareness Association's website in Juneau.
All right, and let them know that they're interested in helping with the collection drive. So yes. In a perfect world, what would you like to see happen on MLK Day with your food drive?
In my perfect world, I use that a lot lately. In Sherry's perfect world, I would love to see cars pulling up to St. Paul's Church on Atlin Drive beginning at 11 o'clock, just donating one small box or one large box or a bag of goods that will support the residents of the Glory Hall and the Aware Shelter, because these are really necessary items that are so critical to their next steps and their survival, whether it be ramen noodles or twin sheets or jackets to keep them warm in this cold weather we're having. These are all items that'll be posted on the website. We'd be just thrilled to have.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sherry Paul. And we'll have more about Martin Luther King's Day of Service in another program coming up. So we want to thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you, Rhonda.
If I can help somebody as they pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody that they're traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I should sing salvation to the world he wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Well, it really doesn't matter most of the deeds I've done. It really doesn't matter the prizes I may have won. I'd like for somebody to say I tried to love someone when I have to meet my day. In the crawl for justice, I helped somebody run. In the walk for the hungry, I feared someone. And in the march for peace, tell them I played the drum when I have to meet my day. In the crawl for justice, I helped somebody run. In the walk for the hungry, I feared someone. And in the march for peace, tell them I played the drum when I have to meet my day.